Okay, let's, with Hashem's help, finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas Avi Moya, Rav David Sibin, Rav Yosef. We are on the very bottom of Daf Kuf Zayin, and based today's Daf is Daf Kuf Ches. Omar Mar Bar Hamduri, Omar Shmuel. Omar Mar Bar Hamduri, Omar Shmuel. Mar Bar Hamduri, said the name of Shmuel. Hoshit yadol me'ei behema v'dildal overshib me'ev. A person, an animal's pregnant, and a person sticks his hand inside the animal and somehow causes the animal to miscarry. He uproots the baby. He uproots the baby animal from where the baby animal is. Chayev. He's chayev for violating Shabbos. It's like killing. My tamarav baramdu yazruli lav amar v'sheish hamad talish k'shusa mehizme v'higev. A person uproots a certain plant which grows among the thorns, and you uproot it from the thorns. Mechai mishum oker davar megidulo. That's a told of kotzer. It's a told of kotzer of harvesting your oker davar megidulo, even though it's not attached to the ground. Hachanami mechai mishum oker davar megidulo. So too over here, you have an animal inside another animal. It's going to be like a kotzer oker davar megidulo, even though it's not attached to the ground. Amar Abai, hay man de talash. Pitchra meuna dechatzva. If a person uproots like mushrooms, which were growing like on the on a jar, on a jug, mechay b'shem okedav megidulo. It's a told of kotzer, even though it's not attached to the ground. You're uprooting it from the place that it normally grows. Asks the Gemara, Masr Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia asks a question about this. Hatolish me atzitz nakuv chayev she'enu nakuv pater. Wait a minute, but we know there's a halacha that if you remove something from a flower pot that does not have a hole in it, so you're exempt. So that's also being oka davar megidulo, even though it doesn't grow from the ground. Answers the Gemara, hasam lav hainu rav isay. Since it's not the normal way to plant in an atzitz nakuv, that's what the Gemara assumes, it's not a normal way to plant, therefore you're not chayev. But hacha hainu rav isay. But here, plucking the mushroom off, growing, it's growing wherever it's growing, so that's the normal way the mushroom grows, and therefore, but most of the plants that grow in an atzitz nakuv, let's say you're plucking wheat off of there, whatever it is, so then that's not the normal way it grows, and therefore you're exempt. Says the Gemara, chaya v'of v'chulo, right, if you trap them, you're putter, but achovo behen chaya, that's what the Mishnah had said. Amar Rav Huna. It is permissible to write tefillin on the skin of a kosher bird. Amar of Yosef, my kamashon, what's the chiddush of this? De islay or that a bird is considered to have skin? That the skin of a bird is halachically legit skin? Tanino, we already learned that. Hachovel b'hen chayev. So we learned that if you wound them, you're chayev for Natil's neshama, or for tzoveh, or for dash. We saw before three opinions. What you're chayev for chavala for. So you already learned this. Amalei Abaye, tuva kamasha. No, this is a big chiddush. Even masnis, and if you only had that mishnah, I might have thought that even though it has skin, kevin de ispe nikve, since the skin of a bird has many holes in it, lo, you can't write tefillin on it. It's not a nice way to write the tefillin. Kamash malan. That's what Rav Hun has to tell me, that no, those little holes in the skin of a bird do not disqualify this for use for tefillin. Since the holes are so small, so when you pass the ink over it, so the ink goes right over the holes in a nice way, and therefore, it's not a problem to write tefillin on them. Asks the Gemara, Mesive, Rabbi Zera. Biknafav, the Torah says, "Vishisau so biknafav the kohen by a olas ha'of." So he has to split the skin from the back. So lahachshir es ha'or. This comes to teach me that the skin of a bird also gets burnt on the mizbeach. You don't have to skin the bird; you just split it from the back. But even the skin is allowed to go on his bech. V'sagadaitach oru, if you tell me that the skin of a bird has a halachic status of skin, heichim arbalei kara, so then it should be like every other animal. Every other carbonola, you got to first skin it. The skin doesn't go on the mizbech. Yet the Torah says that the skin of the bird goes on. So how can you tell me the skin is considered to be like or? Amale Abaye, no, Orhu V'rachmana Rabbie. No, it's an exception. Really, it's a halachically skin, so you could write tefillin on them. But the Torah says explicitly, this kind of a skin does go on the Mizbeach. That's the way some had the version. Ikada Amri, a different version. Amri Abizera Afanana Mitanina. No, it's a raya. Bichnafav l'rabos ha'sahar. That's a raya from the fact that it's burnt on the Mizbeach. That's why I need a pasuk to be marbe'it. Why did it puzzle? Because usually you tell me skin can't go on the Mizbeach because it's legit skin. Say here, why do I need a pasuk to teach me? It is legit skin. Despite that, I need a pasuk that tells me you're allowed to put it on the Mizbeach. Ikadam b'amar b'zer. Afanana mitanita b'chnafav. L'rabos esha'or. Special pasuk. Iyamis mishlama orhu hanadisu kala rabuye. Since it's skin, that's why I need a special pasuk to teach me. It's not like regular skin, which doesn't go on the Mizbeach. That's why I need the pasuk. It's docharaya fakeret. It's a raya that it really is skin, that you're allowed to write tefillin and mezuzahs on there. El yamis lav oru, amai yisr kol rabu. He says, well, nah, it's not a raya. By lo lamei malach lav oru. Maybe it's not skin. Ve'itztrich, sagdad d'chamina, kevin d'ispe, pirtse, ma'is. You might think, since it has lots of holes, it's disgusting to the Mizbeach. Kamash Balan, that no, it's okay to be brought in the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara. Boy, mine, mar, bered, ravina, mir, rav, nachem, yitzok. Malch, tefillin, agabi, or shall dog tar. So now the Gemara said, you're allowed to write tefillin on a bird, on the skin of a bird. Are you allowed tefillin on the skin of a fish, a kosher fish? Amalei, im yavu, elio, v'yomar. Elio, anavi, will come and tell us whether or not it's mutter or aser. Says the Gemara. Mai, im yavu, elio, v'yomar. What do you mean? How are you allowed to rely on Eliyahu Hanavi for this psak? Some say the Gemara, right? The Gemara says, Eliyahu Hanavi is not allowed to pass in halacha for us. Really? I thought it was teku, tishbi yishari, yitari, it's kushi as avayas. Yeah, so, lo bashamayimi, they ask. So some say, well, no, he's allowed, if we have a suffix, he's allowed to respond to it. Interesting. So, mayim yavu Eliyahu v'yoma. Ilema, that we're not going to ask him the shayla. He's just going to tell us the mitzias. He's just going to tell us the facts. Ida islayar, ida leslayar. He's not really paskening halacha. He's just going to tell us the facts, whether bird skin is is a mitzias, is it called skin or not. Hachazina de islayar. We see that the bird, that the dog has skin. Va'od hatanan. Also, we learned in a mission in Kalim. Atzmos adog v'oro matzilim ba'olamais. You see that the skin of a fish protects in an olamais. Let's say you have something wrapped in the skin of a fish, it won't become tamei if it's in an olamais. So rather, what does the Gemara says? Ela im yavo eliyov yomar ipaska zuam amine ilo paska zuam amine. Whether and what Eliyahu is going to paskin for us is that after you remove the skin of the fish, does that sufficiently remove the smell to make it okay to use fatillin? In other words, and some say this means actually the physical smell. Some say no, it means the spiritual smell. It doesn't mean the physical smell. It means halachically, is it still considered to be disgusting? So it's not appropriate al pi ruchnius, not necessarily al pi gashmius. Different opinions here how to understand this line of the Gemara. But that's Elio. So apparently he's not really just going to pass in a halacha. It's going to be more of like a metaphysical kind of a question. It's not a pure. Not a pure halachic issue. Okay. Shmuel, an unbelievable story, the Gemara says. Unbelievable story. Unbelievable. Shmuel v'karna have a yasve agudu de Nahar Malka. The Mepharshim say Nahar Malka, the river of the king, means the Nahar Paras. It's a very chashiva, kingly river. Shmuel v'karna, so two rabbis, Shmuel and Karna were sitting on the banks of Nahar Malka, of the river. This is the Nahar Pras, which would flow from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Chazinu lemaya de kadalu v'achire. They saw that the water in the river started to swirl. Amale Shmuel lekarna. So Shmuel said to Karna, if the water that's coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel is starting to swirl, gava rabbi ka'asima amarav. It must be that there's a great holy man traveling now along this river from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. V'chayish b'me'e, and he's on a boat, and he's mamish having terrible stomach problems. He's having like diarrhea and stomach problems. V'kadolu mayalak b'ulei ape kameh. And somehow the water is swirling to try to help out this Talmid Chacham, whether it be to cover him over when he has to go to the bathroom, or maybe it was going to protect him in some way, somehow, or whether different opinions on what exactly, but somehow this swirling, dirty water was there to protect the Talmud Chacham. Some say that it was that he could wash himself. Well, after he went to the bathroom all these times on the boat, that he can go wash himself with this water. So the Gemara says, Zil tahi le akankane. So go take a smell of him. This is what Shmuel said to Karna. Meaning that they didn't know who this Rav was. Who was it? It was Rav. So Shmuel said to Karna, go take a whiff of this Talmud Chacham. In other words, give him a faher. Let's see. He must be, if the whole ocean is like mamish kicking up in his honor, he must be somebody special. Let's go see. You know, we in Bavel, you know, in Bavel, they thought they were like the chashuv of Talmid Chacham. Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, they weren't so chashuv. Let's see if this Rav in Eretz Yisrael, let's see if he knows anything. Azal Ashkechi L'Rav. So Karna went to greet this rabbi on the boat, and he saw, lo and behold, it was the great Amora Rav, who was coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Amar Lei, Minayin Shin Kosen Tefillin El Al Gabi Or Behemot Tos. He wanted to give him a fahar. So he said, how do you know that you're only allowed to write tefillin on the skin of a kosher animal? Amar Lei, so Rav answered him, what? That's an easy one. What, you're trying to test? That's an easy one. Dechsiv L'man Tia Toras Hashem Beficha. That the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu could only be written on something that's Minamutar Shebeficha. Minamutar Beficha. Only something that's permissible to eat. Okay, another shayla. Minayin ledam shehu adom. How do you know the dam nida is only mitame when it's red? Shenemar, he answered him, Shenemar, pasuk in Malachim Beis, vayiru moav mineged es hamayim adumim kadam. Third shayla. Minayin lemila shevoso makom. How do you know when you give a bris mila, it's in the makom ha'erva, that's where you give the bris mila? Sounds like a funny kasha. We pretty much assume this, but the Torah doesn't anywhere explicitly state. It just says, Yimol Basar or Lasso. Where is that? Who knows where that is? So he answered him, it's also an easy one. It's Gzeira Shava. Nemar Kan Orlasso, Venemar Lahalon Orlasso, by Orla. Ma Lahalon, just like by the din of planting fruit trees, that the first 3 years are Orla. Dover She'ose Pri. It's dafka, something that yields fruit. Afkan davisho sapri. It's that part of the body that man multiplies with. So Karna asked against Rav, Ema libo, maybe it means orlas halev, dechsev umaltimus orlas levavchem. You see, orla means, so maybe you're supposed to have open heart surgery. Unbelievable, this is the avamina, that a bris mila should be open heart surgery to remove the orlas halev. Ema ozno, maybe it means you're supposed to do the bris mila on the ear, dechsev, Hine orla oznam. And the Gemara done in orla so tama, may orla so tama, vein done in orla so tama, may orlas, she'ena tama. Now we compare orla so when it stands alone, not orlas something else, like orlas levavchem, or orlas esnechem, that's different. Amalei, my shemecha. So Rav was getting pretty upset. Why was Rav getting upset? Rav had to go to the bathroom. And he had this terrible disease that he was seasick, I guess, from the ride. He was throwing up or he was going to the bathroom. And here he is. He just landed on dry land. He wants to get to the bathroom. And this rabbi is giving a fire when he's on his way to the bathroom. So Rav got all upset with him. Amalei, my shemecha. What's your name? He said to the rabbi. Karna. So the rabbi responded, my name is Karna. Amalei, so Rav cursed him out. He was upset with him because he was in pain. And when you're in pain, so the Mefarshim say here, Rav was not punished for saying this to Nachal, because when you're in pain, we can't hold you responsible for that with what you say. He was so sick and so in pain. Amalei Yehei Rav at the Tepuk LeKarna Be'enei. May it be the will of the Rabbona Shel Olam that you end up with a thorn in your eye or a growth in your eye. And that ended up happening. That's what the Mefarshim say. That ended up happening because the klala of a Talmud Chacham. The Chazon Ish explains in Sanhedrin why Rav cursed Karna, because Sherav Savar Shemakirim Osa B'Bavel. He thought they knew him and they knew he was a gadol. They knew he. They thought he thought he knew him in Babel, and therefore he was being mezalzel in the covet of a Talmud Chacham. That's what the Chazon Ish understands, that he cursed him because he was being mezalzel. Others say no, that other way, but the Chazon Ish says he's being mezalzel in the covet of a Talmud Chacham to give him a faher, and if he would be quiet, so everybody in Eretz Yisrael, everybody in Babel would be mezalzel all the Talmid Chacham of Eretz Yisrael. Right, and the curse was miskayim because, right, the Gemara says kill las chacham afilu bechinam hiba. If a Talmud Chacham says a klala, even if it was unjust, it happens. Okay, says the Gemara. Lesof aile Shmuel lebeise. So Shmuel was apparently watching from a distance. Shmuel brought Rav into his house. Ochle nahama desa'ari v'kasa daharsna. He fed him barley bread and a certain fish dish. Vashke shichro, he made him drink beer. V'lo achvele beis hakise. He didn't show him the bathroom. What's the moral of the story? The guy comes into the house. The first thing you should do to ask him is, do you want to use the bathroom? Do you need the bathroom? But he didn't show him the bathroom. Kihechi delishtalshel. So he dafka gave him these foods because he wanted to like soften him up so he'd be able to go to the bathroom. Liat Rav Amarsal, but Rav got all angry at him. He didn't realize why he was doing this. He got angry at him and he said to him, Va'amar, mand mitzaran lo lukmu le bane. The one who continues to cause me pain, may he never have sons. Bechein hava. And that's what happened. Shmuel only had daughters. He never had sons. Unbelievable. Says the Gemara, Kitanoi, let us say this issue of where the Makom HaMila is, or how do we know the Makom HaMila is where it is, goes like a Machlokas Tanoim. Minayin Lamila Shibos Makom, how do you know the Mila is in that place? Nemar Kan or Laso, Venemar Lahalon or Laso. Ma Lahalon Davish Oseperi, Afkan Davish Oseperi, Divir Rabbi Yoshe, it's like we saw before. Rabbi Nasin Omer Eino Tzarech, you don't need that limit. Areo Omer, V'arel zachar asher lo yimol psar laso. Makom shenikar ben zachwas l'nekebus. The Torah says, arel zachar. So this is dafka, the place on the body that you can tell the male from the female. Tana Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught in the Braisa. Kos v'ntilin agabi or behema tahora. V'al gabi or chaya tahora. V'al gabi or nevelos utrefas shalahen. So you're allowed to write tefillin on the skin of a kosher animal, even a kosher wild animal, but not like a deer, but not, and even on a nevela or a trefa from a kosher animal, right? Nevela means, let's say you shot it instead of shechted it, and trefa, it has a hole in its lung, it's going to die within 12 months. So as long as it's a kosher animal, so then even if it's a nevela or trefa, you're allowed to write tefillin from them. V'nichrachos b'sarad, and when you wrap the tefillin parashios, you use the hair of kosher animals, v'nitfaros begidon, and when you sew them up in the tefillin, you have to also use the gidin, the sinews of a kosher animal as well. V'halacha l'moshe misinai shat tefillin nechrochos b'sa'aron v'nisparos begidon. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. Aval ein kosvin lo al gabi or behema temea v'lo al gabi or chaya temea, non-kosher animal, Vein sarchom agavi or nevelo trevishal and kavachomer, you're not allowed to write tefillin on the hide of a nevelo or a trefa of the non kosher animals. Vein nichrachim b'samein esparos begidon, you can't wrap them in the hair of the non kosher animals or sew them up with the sinews of a non kosher animal. How do we know this? V'zusha elashal baisusi echad es Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi. A certain baisusi, I think he's a type of apikoros, like the tzdukim and the baisusim, they didn't believe in the words of the chachamim. The students of tzadok and baisus, they were the talmidim of Antignus ish socho. Right, Antignus was the one who taught Maseches Avos, al tiyu kavadim am shamshans rav amnas the kabal pras. And this is what they taught their students. They made a mistake. The students made a mistake. They thought that you should serve Hashem and you won't get reward. The Talmidim said, hey, We know that's not true. So just like that's not true, so to the rest of the words of the Chacham are not true. And they became apikorsim. How do you know you're not allowed to write tefillin on a non-kosher animal? He answered him, "Bavos tezachin laman tia toras Hashem beficha midavar mutar beficha elamayata gabi or nevelos tshevos ayikosus." So the Baisusi thought he was smart. He said, "Wait a second. If you're not allowed to write a non-kosher animal, so what about a nevelo or a trefa? It's also not kosher." Elamayata gabi or nevelos tshevos ayikosvu. There's a difference. Two people were chayv to be killed by the king. One of them was killed by the king himself, and one of them was killed by the head executioner. Which of them was more chashav? If the king killed him, so that's more meshubach. So too, nevela and trefa, which are killed, meaning that they're rendered unfit by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are more chashiv than those that were shechted by human beings. So therefore, if you know, a nevela usually dies of natural causes. You could have a nevela where a human being did it also, but most nevelas, I guess, are by natural causes. So if you're allowed to write tefillin on the Or Behema Chaya Tahoros, which are shechted by man, Kalvachomer, you're allowed to write it on Nevelo Trefa, which were shechted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. A Nevelo Trefa of a kosher animal. Aye, El Meata Ye'ochlu. So the Baisusi said, according to that logic, we should be able to eat these things. Amalei, Hatayra Amalo, Sochel Kol Nevel, Varam Yochelu. So the Rabbi Shua said to the Baisusi, the Torah says explicitly, you're not allowed to eat Nevela. And you're telling me, we should eat Amalo, Kalos. So the Baisusi said, you got me. You're right. That's a good answer. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Ein Osin. Here we go. Ein Osin Hil Mi B'Shabbos. Now we're going to talk about making salt water and the like. So you're not allowed to make this hilmi. It was like a very thick, concentrated brine used for fish, like to soak the fish in, a very salty. So ein osin hilmi b'shabbos. Why? Because it looks like you're preparing a heavy, salty, a salty mixture for the sake of tanning something. They would tan. They would use salt in the tanning process. So it looked like it was you were salting, like you would salt a piece of meat to tan it. But you're allowed to make a small amount of salt water. Tovo ben pito, you're allowed to make a little bit of salt water to dip your, pour a little salt on the bread, or make a little bit of salt water to dip your bread in. Venosin lasocha tavshil, or to take a little salt water and pour it into a dish. I'm Rabbi Yossi. V'halo hu hilmi b'emiru b'emuot. Rabbi Yossi says, how can you make halachas like this, that a lot of salt is usur, but a little salt is okay? I mean, what do you mean? Salt water is salt water. If you tell me one is usher, they're both usher. So Biosi says, now he doesn't say whether both are usher or both are mutter, but he just says they should both be the same. We'll see, the Gemara is going to say what he held. Are they both usher or are they both mutter? V'ilu hein mei melach ha-mutarin nosin shemen l'chachil l'sochamayim olu l'sochamelch. Rabbi Yossi says the only way that you can't do salt directly in water, either you pour the salt into oil and the oil into water, or you pour the oil into the water and then pour the salt into it. Either way, but you got to have oil in there, but just because then that dilutes it. The oil dilutes the power of the salt, so no one thinks you're using it for really for tanning purposes. So that's the only way to do it. But water into salt is always going to be usur, even a little bit according to Rabbi Yossi. Well, what doesn't say? It doesn't say usur and mutter. It's going to be obvious. It's pretty obvious from the end of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, my ka'amar, what is this hilmi? Amar the mashmo ha'ka'amar, ein osin me'malach merubin. You can't make a lot of thick, concentrated salt that you're going to use it, let's say, to pickle cucumbers and turn them into pickles, because that's like ma'abe, that's doma la ma'abe, to like tanning. It's similar to melach of tanning. Aval osu me'malach muatim, but you're allowed to make just a little bit of salt water, because that does not look like tanning. I'm Rabbi Yossi. The Bnei Ha'yishiv asked the two Sadalachic informational question. Rabbi Yossi lesser lahatir? Is did Rabbi Yossi forbid it, or did he, or was he matir it? I'm Rabbi Yehuda lahatir. Midulok tana Rabbi Yossi oser. I'm Ali Rabbi. What do you mean he was matir? Hamid diktani sefer. Look at the end of the Mishnah. It's clear that he wasn't matir. Ve'elu ein mi'melach hamutar and mechlad Rabbi Yossi lesser. Elam a rabba lesser, but Rabbi Yochanan lesser. No, he says that both of them are usser. Both of them are usser. Whether you do a lot of salt or a little salt, if it's directly into water, it's usser. Rabbi Yossi says the only way it's mutter is if you have oil in between. Tanya Amihach, we also learned in the Brisa supporting this. Ein osin me melach merubin lasit lasocha kivashin shebesoch gistera. You're not allowed to make a lot of salt water in order to pickle vegetables. They would do this in these broken vessels. You're allowed to make a little salt water just to dip your bread into it or to place it into a cooked dish. Just because one is a lot of salt and one is a little bit of salt, so that one's usher, that one's mutter, makes no sense. Yomru, people are going to think, people are going to think, oh, if I kill a lot of deer, you're not allowed to kill them on Shabbos. But if I kill one deer, it's okay. It's a very bad thing. Well, you make a lot of salt water is no good, but a little salt water is okay. Ela elu ve'elu asurinhe. Oh, here you have the Beferish Abraisa. Both a little bit of salt water and a lot of bit of salt water are usser. Ve'elu hinu melach hamutar. And what's mutter? Nosin shemen hu melach. If you have oil in the salt first, before the water, o shemen hu mayim. Or oil in the water, uvavachli tin mayim. You're not allowed to pour salt into water directly because it looks like you're pickling or tanning. So now, this is now Azin Sinon Ve'esrog Simen. The Gemara has a simen, like radishes, esrog, and the strong ones. Azin, so this is a simen of the next three brises about to come. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva taught in a brisa. Ein osin me melach azin. Ein osin me melach azin. You're not allowed to make very, very strong, concentrated salt water on Shabbos, even if it's a little bit. My me melach azin, how strong is strong? Rabbi Yisrael Yos Damar Tavayu. Kol Shabbetza Tzafa Ben. It's such a heavy salt water that an egg will float, like in the Yam HaMelech, right? The Yam HaMelech, everything floats. So it's that the salt water is so salt heavy that an egg will float. Vekama, how much salt is that? Amar Abaye, trei tilse milcha v'tilse maya. Two-thirds salt and one-third water, it's going to float. Lamaya avdilei, why would they make such a concentrated salt water? Amar Abaye, limur sayu. They would do it for this brine, this fish brine that they would soak the fish in to salt the fish. Because it looks like you're salting them. Second brisa, Tanur Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Ein molchid snon ubeitza b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to salt a radish or an egg on Shabbos. Because they become very hard. Rav Chizki b'Shmid Abaye, Omar, snon aser. He says to salt a radish is aser. Ubeitza muteres, because the salt doesn't help the egg that much. I'm Rav Nachman, meirish have malachna pugla. I used to salt a radish, right? Sinon is Hebrew and pugla is the Aramaic, I believe, of radish. Amin afsudik amafsidnale. I thought it would be permitted to do it because I'm not really helping it that much. It's not really tanning it. It's not really preserving it. Damar Shmuel pugla chorfe mali. Because Shmuel said the radish is sharp, it tastes better without the salt in it. Kevin de Shemana Laha, de Chiyasa Ula, Va'amar Bema'arava Malchi, Kishrei Kishrei. When Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he told us that in Eretz Yisrael, the Imamis used to salt piles and piles of radishes. So Mimlach Lo Malachna, so I refrain now from salting the radishes, because I see that people do salt the radishes long term. Tabule vaday matbilnas. I don't salt the radish, but just to dip each piece in a little bit of salt to eat it right away, that's okay. That's not like tanning the whole thing. Third brisa, Tanei Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva, esrog tzinon ubeitza ilmalei klipasan achitzon einan yotzim ibn mayan leolam. esrog, the esrog fruit, and a radish and an egg, if not for the outer peel that protects it, when you eat it, they would be very, very difficult to excrete. If not for the protection, if you would just eat the inside of it without the peel, so it would be so strong, so powerful, it would cause you to have major indigestion. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, the Bible, he said, Me'olam lo tava gavra biyama de Sodom. A person has never drowned in the Yam HaMelech. It's never happened that a person drowned in the Yam HaMelech. Why? Because you float. It's so much salt in there, you float. You can't drown. Right? Even nowadays, people go. That's the way it is nowadays. You go to the Yam HaMelech. They have all these spas over there by the Yam HaMelech. But when people lie out there on the Yam HaMelech, you mamish, you float. You don't drown. I'm Rav Yosef. Hafucha stom vafucha mila. A stom got destroyed, and the words about stom were also destroyed. Gavrahu delotava. Gavrahu delotava, you mean to tell me only human beings didn't drown there, but kshura tava, but a plank of wood that was there would drown? I'm going to buy lomi bai kara. No, no, no. Lomi bai kshura. Not only a plank of wood. Not only a plank of wood, dafilu b'chol memos sheba'olum lo tava. Not only a plank of wood that would a plank of wood wouldn't drown in any river or ocean in the world. Elafilu gavra, but even a human being, the tava b'chol memos sheba'olum, that in a normal river or an ocean a human being would drown, but biyama de stone lo tava. But in the Yam HaMelech he is not going to drown. L'may nafkamina. What halacha is this relevant to? I mean, very nice. You tell me that you're not going to drown in the Yam HaMelech. What halacha does this apply to? Ki ha de Ravin havishaka v'azal achore to Rabbi Yirmiya. This is like the case of Ravin, who is walking behind Rabbi Yirmiya. Aguda de Yama de Stom, on the edge, on the banks of the Yam HaMelech. Omar Leh, so Ravin said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Ma'u lemim she mehani mai b'shabbos. Am I allowed to wash my eyes out with the, apparently the waters of the Yam HaMelech are very therapeutic. That's why they have all the spas over there. This salt water is very healthy. So he asked him, am I allowed to wash out my eyes with this water on Shabbos? Is it a problem of refuah? That's what we're going to be discussing in the rest of the parak. I'm like, Shabbos dummy. It's mutter because people are going to think you're just washing yourself. It doesn't look like you're doing it l'refua. So it's okay. Now, the Chacham answered anything that's really l'refua, because maybe people will see that they're going to come to grind up medicine on Shabbos. And grinding up medicine is asim shem tochim, which is not malacha. And maybe he himself will come to do it. Now, if it's not clear that he's doing something before, the rabbis did not decree Mishum Haroim. Right. So Rashi says, and he knows he's doing it before, he's got to make a hecker that he shouldn't come to grind up medicines. So why did they require him to make a hecker over here? Because only that it's the normal way to do a refuah, for not rechitzi, you need a hecker. But here, it's the normal way to wash yourself with the water, so you didn't need a hecker for refuah. He knows that he's not going to come to grind. This is people normally do this just to wash themselves off. Okay. Ma'u l'meimatz u'lemiftach. Can you close your eyes and open them when you wash with this water? Close and open your eyes, because then it looks much more like a Malay zulo shamati. No, I'm not sure you could do that, because that looks like it's refuah. Kayotzi bashamati, but in a case where you know you have medicine on the eyes, then that's for sure usser. D'amar Rabbi Zeira zimna amalei mishmei de Rav Masna zimna amalei mishmei de Rav Mar Rukva. Sometimes he said the name of Rav Masna, sometimes the name of Mar Rukva. V'tavai mishmei de Avod Shmuel V'Levi Amarin, and these two rabbis said it in the name of Avod Shmuel V'Levi. Chad amar, one of them said, Yain b'socha ayin usser. To put wine in your eyes for refuah is usser, but al gava ayin mutter, but on top of the eye it's mutter. V'chadam arok tafel, spit, which also had healing ability. Afil al gava ayin usser, even on top of the eye, it's also because it looks like you're doing it for refuah purposes, because it's disgusting. So Rabbi Yemi approves from this that you're not allowed to open and close the eyes when you're washing from the Yam HaMelach, because it's clear that it's for refuah. That's where Avdimi also meant that since the Yam HaMelach is very salty, no one has ever drowned there. That's what he meant. Since no one has ever drowned there, so they heal you. They're very slow to heal you, and therefore you're not allowed to put it on the eye and open and shut your eye, because if you open and close your eye, it looks like you're doing it for refuah purposes. And just the last line here, Tistayim davur d'shmul hu domar yayin besoch ayin aser. Let's prove that it's avur d'shmul who was the one who said, right, we had two rabbis, we weren't sure who said which one. Let's prove that it's avur d'shmul said that wine in the eye is aser. Al gava yayin mutter, but on top of the eye is mutter. Midamar Shmuel, because Shmuel says elsewhere, Shmuel said, Shora adam pito b'yayim v'nos la gavayim b'shabbos. A person's allowed to dip his bread into wine and put it on top of your eye on Shabbos, because people will say you're not doing it for refuah. D'shmiel emiman, who do you hear this from? Lav d'shmiel emiman. Abba must have heard it from his father. So it must be that his father held that it's usher just to put wine directly in the wine, but it's mutter on top of the wine. Says, well, wait. V'li tameich. Shmuel also said that spit is also on top of the eye. So d'shmiel emiman, who do you hear that from? If you heard that from the father, Ella Levi v'lochadam, that means Levi didn't say either of them. Ella, so don't prove from Shmuel. Chada Shmuel Emi Avua, one teaching you heard from his father, the Chada Shmuel Emi Levi, and one teaching you heard from Levi, v'lo yadana hemi avua hemi Levi. We don't know which one he heard from Shmuel and which one he heard from Levi. Okay, one more line here. Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, Mar Ukva said name of Shmuel, Shora Adam Kilorin. So Kilorin is this certain type of plant that they would use to heal the eye. They would make a certain balm that would heal the eye. So Kilorin, these types of spices, herbs that were used to help you see better. May Erev Shabbos, Shora Adam Kilorin, May Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to soak them on Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to put them in your eye on Shabbos, that it's not a problem of refuah. It's not a problem of refuah on Shabbos. Since you did it on Erev Shabbos, we're not afraid you're going to come to... People are going to think you're just washing out your eye since you did it on Erev Shabbos. So says Rashi. Since you did it on Erev Shabbos and you're just washing your eye out, it's not a problem. Bar Levi, have koi kamei demar ukva. Bar Levi was standing in front of Maruk. He saw that he was placing kilurin in his eyes, and he was opening and shutting his eyes. Amalei, kule hai vade lo shar ma Shmuel. You know, you're allowed to put him in your eyes, but certainly Shmuel wouldn't have agreed to like open and close your eyes, that it's clear that you're doing it lerefuah, so that you can't do. Shalach Rabbiyan lemarukva, lishte lon mar mehanach kilurin ma Shmuel. Can you please send us some of the kilorin, this bomb that Shmuel used? Shalach le shidur meshadarnalach. I'll send it to you. Delo tema tsar ayinana. That you won't say that I'm a stingy person. But elahachya mashmuel. But you should know that Shmuel said tova tipas tzonein shachas rechitzes zidam reglaim becham and arvim kol kilurin shibolam. It's more effective to wash your eyes out in the morning with cold water, and washing your hands and feet in hot water at night. That'll help your seeing mikol kilurin shabolam from all of these bombs in the world. Tanya Mihach, we learned in the Brisa supporting us. Amar Rabbi Muna Mishem Mishem Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Muna said the name Rabbi Huda. Tova tipas tzonin shachos rechitz nidayim v'layim arbis. Right. What are we learning nowadays? Right. You got to wash your eyes out a little cold water in the morning, and washing your hands and feet with soap and water at night is better than all the kilurin in the world to keep your eyes healthy. Gentlemen, we will stop here. Thank you very much for joining. Everyone should have a wonderful day. A chodesh tov.